Hello, everyone. My name is Michael Gruninger, co-chair of Ontology Summit 2013 with Matthew West. Today is May 23rd, and this is the official review and follow-up action planning session, otherwise known as the postmortem, for Ontology Summit 2013. The purpose of today's session is to review what went well with this year's summit, what can be improved, and start to plan for next year's summit, both in terms of procedures, process, and also brainstorming on topics. As everyone knows, the topic for Ontology Summit 2013 was ontology evaluation throughout the ontology lifecycle. I felt this year that it was a quite successful year. We, in addition to the communique, which was a very high quality document, we also had various kind of innovations in this year's or overall organization. In addition to the breakdown into the various tracks, which has kind of been a traditional structure for the summit, we also had this year a hackathon and ontology clinic series, which by all accounts was also, again, very, very successful with quite a number of projects. Another aspect that was a bit, I guess, a bit different this year was that we had a longer period of time for covering all of the different kinds of sessions associated both with the core tracks as well as the hackathons. And as a result, we also had a longer time. We had more sessions in which we could do synthesis of all of the results that were happening. So a few differences from previous summits, but I think overall it was, again, very, very successful. So the agenda for today, I will be moderating today's session. And so the agenda you can see in the chat. We will begin with Matthew West, co-chair, my fellow co-chair. I see he's online now. And he will be giving some reflections and thoughts for the future. Peter Yim will be giving some reflection on the Ontology Summit numbers, so kind of comparing kind of some of the statistics for this year's summit. Then Fabian Neuhaus and Amanda Weisem will be covering aspects related to the communique, some follow-up and other action plans for the communique. Then Terry Longstreth will be going over some of the virtual summit session content. Marcella Vigetti will be also talking about some follow-up action plans, in particular about the Ontology Summit 2013 website. Amanda Bison will reappear for the talking about the ontology of ontology evaluation. And then we'll be finishing up with an overall discussion. Again, what went well, what needs to be improved, and then ideas and suggestions brainstorming for next year. Also, as everyone might know, next year will be the first year that NIST will not be the host for the symposium. The George Strawn and the NSF offices will be the host. So that will be a big change of venue. So let's start off then with Matthew West giving some reflections and thoughts for the future.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Matthew.
Thank you. Apologies for being late. My PC crushed and burned very slowly just as I was trying to log on. Okay, next slide, please. That's slide two. So, as Michael was saying, we've had really quite some interesting innovations this year, and I've listed the ones that come to my mind here. First of all, we've had the hackathons and clinics. These are short, intensive activities. And hackathon or clinic are just the varieties that we happen to have had. They've been, I think, a roaring success and have delivered some really interesting results, and I wonder how we might make use of this in the future. Another thing that was different this year is that the symposium was somewhat later. This happened by accident. We just weren't able to find an earlier date that we could that we could have it. And the question really is, was the timing better or worse? Should we be doing that deliberately next year? It was noticeable that there were fewer people at the symposium this year. And I wonder if that was to do with the timing or was that something else? Just questions. I would hesitate to try to give a definitive answer to that now. And then the communique. Now, in the past, the communique has mostly summarized what has happened in the tracks. And this year, it went beyond what had happened in the tracks and built on the work rather than just summarizing. And I think that was a particular success, personally. Next slide, slide three. So, I think it's probably worth reflecting on the personal challenges that I found this year, because these inform what I'm going to talk about next, which is some ideas, just as a starting point, really, and to stimulate other ideas about what we might think of doing in the future. I find that being both a co-chair and a track co-champion, and even in previous years, just being a track co-champion, is a significant and sustained commitment, and it's really quite hard to keep it up. I don't know, most of you here, I think, are in that, are either track champions or editors or in a similar kind of role. So I wonder how you find that. I know that one of the feelings I've had is that I've not always felt been able to contribute as much or as well as I would wish, which isn't to say that I'm not proud of what we were able to achieve, because I'm very proud of what we were able to achieve, but you can't help feeling that one could have contributed more and would have wished to do so. So, with that in mind, I had some thoughts, which this is not really different from my closing remarks at the symposium, but here they are anyway. So the next slide, slide four, please. So one of the things that I think, the idea behind this, I know that Peter is very keen about the intensity that the symposium has. So what I've tried to do in putting this together is to retain the intensity but spread it out a bit more as well, so that you have a number of intense bits rather than one long continuous intense bit. One of the ideas I have is that we would actually pick the topic soon. I mean, you know, in the next, before the summer break. And then actually start in September. So that just means that we're fallow over the summer. You have an opportunity to think about it and what it might mean, but it's not more than that. And then we would do things in three phases, and I'd be quite happy if these were called bursts. The first is I would consider to be exploratory. If we've got the topic, we're just trying to get a handle on what it is we ought to be doing. I know that over a couple of years, whilst we split some things up into tracks, the tracks that we split things up into haven't always made sense by the time we've got into them. I think that was true for tracks A and B this year that were divided intrinsic and extrinsic, and quite quickly recognised that possibly wasn't the most fruitful division that could have been made. I mean, we get on with it and we do it and we make something out of it. But if we had given ourselves the opportunity to prepare a bit better beforehand, maybe we would have picked something else, and maybe that would have been more fruitful. Maybe it wouldn't, of course. Second phase is the sort of presentations and exploring. You know, this is the kind of content that we have typically between Christmas and Easter. And then the third phase is focused on outputs, and the and of course leading up to the symposium and the communique. And I would see each of these phases potentially having sort of clinics, hackathons involved as contributing to what goes on in each of those, although of course they would be different sorts of things depending on the different sorts of size. And the idea isn't that it's more overall, but that there are some gaps, which means that we both have the opportunity to reflect and recover from the bursts that would be the sort of the main sections. And you could see that happening, the three phases, you know, you'd have a phase before Christmas, a phase after Christmas, and a phase after Easter, very roughly. So that was what I had to say. I don't know whether we wanted to put that out for discussion at this stage or whether we wanted to do the discussion later.
I think we'll be doing, excuse me, all the discussion towards the end. So when we come back to what went well and what needs to be improved. So there'll be a set of slides at the end where we kind of focus the discussion, but this is just kind of like getting us in the right frame of mind. Okay, thank you, Matthew. Yeah, those are really good. That was a good analysis, I think, of the kind of the process behind this year's summit and symposium. Next up, Peter has some reflections on the Ontology Summit numbers, some more from the kind of statistics perspective, and click on two analytics.
Okay, let's move on to slide number two. So these are the numbers for this year as of 6:30 this morning. So this year we have six co-organizers like last year. We have 16 people in the organizing committee who put in a tremendous amount of work to get to where we are. We had 92 people in the advisory committee, 76 co-sponsors, and we have about 580 people in the community, if we call those subscribers of the Ontology Summit being the Ontology Summit community, then with about 580 of those. We have 16 people who are sort of listed as co-editors, which included the two lead editors as well as all the champions and chairs of the summit, which essentially I think is the same people as the organizing committee. We ran eight virtual organizing committee meetings. We exchanged about 1,100 emails, about half and half, 500 and some, about less than 600, about 550, 560 were in the Ontology Summit list, and about maybe 450 or so in the, and about the same number in the organizing committee list. So in comparison, actually, there were a lot more communication on the organizing committee list than before and less on the Ontology Summit list. I'll go into the analytics later. We ran 20 virtual community sessions. We ran 7 hackathon sessions, some of those even spread out over 2 days or even 2 days and a bit, like our prize-winning hackathon actually had 3 sessions, 2 days plus another 2 hours. We ran a 2-day symposium with about 70 people registering online and 30 people registering to be attending remotely, and we ended up having only half of those who registered to be on-site attending there in person, and practically everyone who registered to be attending remotely did show up at some time, and more. Actually, some people who registered for on-site ended up showing up in on the phone. A total of 99 presentations were made, which is a record number. And as of this morning, communique endorsements numbered at 141. I'm sure people who are watching this number would be curious. I mean, are we getting more endorsements this year, or are we getting less? So the answer actually is last year by this time, by the postmortem time, we actually had less endorsements. But by the time we closed endorsement, we had 144. So still a few more, but I mean, almost invariably, I think we will surpass that number from last year. So going on to the next slide, slide number 3, let's compare that to previous years. When I was preparing this stack of slides, the one item that took me the longest time was I remember we put together some numbers back in long time ago, and then we started putting the statistics together about 2 years ago. So it took me a long time to go back, and I actually fished out numbers that we put together in 2007, not exactly in the same format, so I had to normalize them in the same format. But at the end of this slide, you can see a link that goes to a panel session. We were a bunch of us put together a panel and was invited to speak at NSF in a session where they talked about how to sort of archive community long-term proceedings and knowledge. And if you look at that slide, it's a very interesting slide. It probably is worth equivalent to a post-mortem session of sorts. And like I forgot the exact number, 6 or 7 of us were presenting. So in comparison, back in those days, we actually had more co-organizers because each year we invited different people to be in the organizing committee, and everyone whose institution in the organizing committee that the organizing committee members were affiliated to became a co-organizer. At that year, we actually had W3C and NIH, NLM, and so on. So we had more co-organizers, we had less organizing committee members, we didn't have an advisory committee, we had slightly less co-sponsors, which means we haven't gone very far with co-sponsors. We didn't count the list subscribers, so we don't know. We actually only had 2 communique co-editors, and they were the lead editors. They were actually the people who wrote up the communique between day 1 and day 2 of the summit. They put it all together that evening. And for those who still remember, our 2 co-editors for the 2007 communique, 2007 was understanding what ontology is. I mean, understanding foxonomy, taxonomy, and ontologies. And the 2 co-editors, I mean, we still see their faces at the symposium this year, and they were Frank Oaken and Olivier Bolden-Ryder. And they put together a 2-page communique. We didn't have virtual organizing sessions. We were doing these things mostly by email. And we didn't have virtual sessions because at that time, 2006-2007, the summit was still pretty much like a conference. So it's a lot of work preparing for this 2-day meetup. However, a huge number of exchanges were made over the electronically on the mailing list, and it counted to 1,600, literally like 50% more than what we do now. I mean, despite the fact that we're so many years later, so many more people involved, and the 2-day symposium had. We didn't have the number. The estimate was about 60. So we actually had almost twice the number of people at the symposium. A total of 18 presentations were made. So compared to 100, I mean, we had like more than five times less presentations because they were all folded into those 2 days. And at that time, we had 57 people endorsing the communique. So fast forward, next slide, 2011, the statistics start to look pretty much like where we are today, except that 2 years ago, the community was about 400. And now we have 500 and some, so we've grown a bit. And the communique endorsers counted to 91. And 1,200 messages were exchanged, slightly more than this year. More symposium registrants, though, 95 people registered, and roughly about the same, I mean, if you count the overall, the whole year, 93 presentations were made. And going to 2012, again, I mean, last year we did 99 presentations, so it's pretty much like this year, interestingly enough. Although from 406, we grew the community from about 400 to 500. And as I mentioned earlier, we had 144 people endorsing the communique. So going back, in this year, we have the same number of co-organizers. We have roughly about the same number of advisors, one less. I mean, since Fabian and I were concerned and we wanted to trim down the numbers, the list subscribers grew. Now we have 579, so about 580 compared to 400 2 years ago. That's a good growth. And we talked about the various other numbers already. And a few points, while preparing these numbers and also spending the time looking back from 2006 to 2009, I came up with four things that might be useful to reflect on. One is that we have a very nice process and quite matured, highly optimized, and proven to be very effective. I mean, we can get a lot of people to study very deeply into one subject with a lot of virtual collaboration among people who haven't met each other and distributed at different corners of the world. Although, I mean, this is not something very scalable. It's something very useful, though. If one is not looking to scale this. And if I ask myself, what is the critical success factor? The number one thing that comes to mind is the dedication of the contributors, whether they are the organizing committee members, the chairs, the champions, or the presenters who took the work very seriously. This is something we need to study and understand more and possibly learn how that could be replicated, because it has good connotations. I mean, not just for a summit, but even for any scientific study or pursuit. And the one major conflict that we have is a constant fight between whether we should or could leverage the summit to advance the ontology discipline internally or promote the ontology discipline externally. And my take is, I mean, you can't do both. So when we go into discussion later, maybe I might propose maybe we start alternating years. One year we do an inward facing, the next year we do an outward facing summit. And the last one, and if we look at weaknesses, since this is post-mortem, I think our Achilles heel is in the lack of skill in marketing, public relation, and as a corollary, getting ourselves out there and getting our work funded and so on. And that is something that we really have to fix if we want to sustain and if we want the community to flourish. So that's it.
Oh, thanks, Peter. Those, it's interesting to see how the numbers kind of have evolved over the years. You say it's a very good stable base, and there still is growth. Although, as Matthew noted, to the number of physically attending registrants at the symposium was rather low this year. And I guess you say the number of subscribers on the list has gone up. But it, one of the other comments, I know Matthew maybe didn't make it, but getting new people involved, I think, is another potential challenge. So if we have the same organizing committee members year over year, we need to – I'm not sure if that's the case. But I think Matthew has said, you know, you see the same faces at the summit, at the symposium every year. We need to also be looking for new faces. Your reflections are spot on. So we'll be saving that for the discussion at the end of today's session. Okay, so up next, we have the presentation.
I have a question.
Sure.
Sorry, Michael. I have a question or a comment. I think the one critical number, which is harder to get but would be interesting, is really the a number of active participants. So I'm looking for, I mean, the obviously there's always a larger number of people who are just looking or listening in, but I my impression is that the number of people who participate actively is hasn't been growing. And that is worrying me a little bit. And this is kind of reflected in the fact that the number of email messages has been going down, because I think that's the lowest barrier of participation, or the easiest thing to do. I mean, obviously we have the same number of people who are there in the organizing committee, and we have about the same number of people who are doing presentations. But it seems to me a smaller group or really engaged.
Right. I guess I was making a comment more from the perspective it's the same. It seems like the same people who are actively participating year over year. So that's not growing.
I would say yes and no. No, uh-huh. in the fact that a lot of the people in the organizing committee are familiar faces, but if you look at people who are involved in active contribution, I mean, the presenters are very different. Obviously, people who are experts in ontology evaluation it's a totally different group from people who were system engineers and systems people from last year. And I think this is anecdotal, because, I mean, it's difficult for me to pin down numbers, is I think we are much broader base this year in terms of countries involved. In offhand, I mean, we have people from Argentina, from Spain, from Russia. I mean, we had Russia last year. I think that the makeup of the contributors are much more diverse, and the mode of contribution is different. Although, because previous years we had a lot of discussion on the mailing list. This year actually there's very little.
But I think there is, with Fabian's comment about active participants, you could count people who give presentations at a particular track session as being active participants, but if their participation is only restricted to that session, then I'm not sure if that's what Fabian meant by active.
No, what I meant is really the number of people who contributed in any form, and if it's only writing one or two emails which are about, bring to the point of the discussion, not of course emails which say I will be attending or something like that. And so I will definitely count people who give presentation. Well, no, that's definitely within the scope. But what I meant is that the set of people who are engaged scientifically by email discussion, etc., I think that number is going down. I'm not worried about not having many new faces on the organizing committee, because ideally the organizing committee doesn't do anything except for organizing, right? If the organizing committee does a perfect job in organizing it, why changing it? But what is important is that we are not stagnant in scientifically, and I think what is important is that we have that the community is not just listening, but is participating also actively, and not only by listening to presentations.
Mm.
And I think that was why the email discussions were always important.
Right. Okay, so why don't we table some of this discussion, though, because I think some of these questions will arise for the what went well and what needs to be improved slides. So I have a few comments, but I'm going to save them for the end there. So Fabian or Amanda, who is going to be covering the discussion about the communique this year?
That'd be me.
Okay, Amanda, you're up.
Okay, jumping straight to slide 2. Basically, most of the slides are notes on particular aspects of the either the way we ran the communique or the way we ran the summit, and what seemed to be the effect on the communique, and then the very last slide has follow-up information or follow-up status. So slide 2, the first factor I noted, which was mentioned previously, is the longer summit. I do think that this gave us more time to refine thinking and discuss issues. We got a little more mature, I think, in our understanding of some of the issues we were grappling with, and that certainly benefited the communique. Relatedly, the synthesis sessions, it's a little bit hard to pick out for sure what was the effect of these sessions. My perception of it is that the synthesis sessions enabled more discussion of issues that didn't align particularly with the tracks. That was especially important this year, although not unique to this year, in that the tracks rapidly seemed like a less than useful way of dividing things as we gained understanding. I personally felt that a number of issues that were reflected on during these synthesis sessions got picked up and continued in future sessions, and that those stayed in my mind as communicate points of particular importance. And so, things that in discussion of the communique, I would bring back out as organizational points that brought together trailing threads from various, across different tracks and from various sessions, and then sort of, bounce that out in the draft to see if that was how people had meant it or how they were thinking. So in general, I felt that the synthesis sessions were very beneficial. There are two ways that they were less than beneficial, one of which is listed here, which is that just as I think an oversight, the scheduling of the synthesis sessions wasn't in sync with the communique deadlines. And so we had this one point where we have a synthesis session and then the communique draft presentation the next week, but track leaders needed that synthesis session to get some feedback on their input to the communique. So we got a little bit of a squish there that probably lessened the quality of what champions were able to provide as communique input. The other way that they weren't as effective as they could have been wasn't exactly, this is an indirect link to the communique, which I'll say a little bit about in the next point, but the synthesis sessions could have been potentially used to reorient the summit sessions to some degree, but that wasn't part of the planned use of them. So things were pretty much already rolling on tracks and the synthesis didn't feed so much back into the focus of the sessions. So that's my next point. The choice and evolution of the track topics, definitely had consequences for the way, we proceeded with the communique and, the kind of input we got into it. It was particularly an issue this year in that, everyone felt that the tracks had probably turned out not to be the best division of things, and yet material was still organized around them sort of so that, sorry, I have a typo in that should be weekly on focus, in relation to the track topics. It's not a new issue for the summit that the champions really haven't seen their roles or been encouraged to see their roles or had time perhaps to see their roles as itself partially an editorial one in that speakers are invited in some cases quite early on before there's a good understanding of where the focus is going. And there isn't really a process for filtering this or reviewing submitted presentations to see if they're going to be on topic or not. And so the ratio of presentations that are clearly on topic to those that it's kind of hard to see the fit of maybe isn't as good as we'd like. But and of course that affects contribution as well. And I want to say that, as I say here, one of the consequences that some of the major issues that really evolved during the summit were not really addressed in the track sessions. They were addressed in the synthesis sessions and weren't clearly within any track's responsibility and therefore weren't reflected in the contributions that we got directly from track champions. So that was something that sort of fell through that's worth thinking about for organizational purposes next time. Slide three, the communique draft review sessions that we had. They were very good in that they got more people reading and commenting. They were limited by the fact that they really depend for their effectiveness on drafts being available and announced it out in folks in time for them to read it before the session and they actually do so. That happened to some degree for our second draft review session, but not for our first. And so we learned on the fly that, you know, having people sort of read stuff in real time and comment as we went through it wasn't very effective, because it caused a lot of people, you know, see something in one place and have a whole lot of comments that actually are addressed a page further down or, you know, somewhere else. But so that wasn't the most efficient thing. So that's a timing and discipline note. Second item on page 3, the reach out to advisors for communique feedback, which, as we all know, was a very significant event this year. And I want to say that was incredibly valuable, because the one thing that we didn't have up to that point was feedback from people who know what they're talking about but haven't been involved in the summit. And getting that feedback revealed real clarity of communication issues, such that if we hadn't had that and had sent out, you know, had gone with the communique as it was before we had that, it would have been much weaker and I don't think we'd have anywhere near the support. So I think this is a great idea, and it's also a way for advisors to meaningfully advise, which is good. So I recommend doing it again in the future. Our problem, of course, was that it happened right before the final input deadline. So right when we should have been finalizing and ready to start breathing again, we actually were launched on a near total overhaul. And while we had the sort of structural authority to ignore such late comments, it was clear that there was a lot of value to them, and that, you know, personally, once I'd seen them and understood those comments, I wouldn't have felt comfortable putting the thing out there with my name on it. So, as I said, it was a great thing to do. And in the future, it would be great to try and schedule it, try and plan for it and schedule it in as an earlier in the communique process. Slide 4. Something new was the strength to which we specified with Fabian's strong advocacy or insistence that to be of any use and have any clarity, the communique was going to have to be narrower than the summit overall. I think that was absolutely the right choice. I think the resulting document had a much stronger focus than the summit did, and it was a more useful document. We had more conflicts over what to include, and that generated lots of work. And it wasn't necessarily reflected in the track champion contributions. Now, I think this may be partly a first-time effect and a lack of clarity, because normally in the past, track champions have just had to sort of present their track synthesis, not create one track synthesis and one focused subset of that for the communique. And it might be something that's easier once we've been through it once. I don't know, but and actually, the point under that is really somewhat redundant. Well, actually, no, it's not. So the second point on slide 4 is that we really focused on the communique, as a something that is sending a message, and doing so with the belief that the message being sent has the potential to generate important action. And again, I think that was the right thing to do. It also created more conflicts over what to include, partially because it was so different from what we'd done before. Slide 5, related to that, we excluded the summary of summit happenings that has been part of the communique in the past, because it weakened the message and because it wasn't all really, it wasn't entirely, useful. People couldn't go look and see what happened. The summary wasn't necessarily the most interesting thing for them to have out there. In terms of how much work the communique took, that had mixed consequences in that, because we didn't have to put together the big summary of events, so that just dumped a chunk of work off. Of course, it replaced it with the work of generating this actual, focused, readable message document that is relevant to people, which is harder. So, you can't really separate it from that. But I think by excluding the temptation to treat it as a research paper, we ended up with a document that's more true to the content of the summit. The summit does investigation and exploration and critical analysis, but it's not quite research. And treating it as a research paper or framing it as one does not play to its strengths. So I think that was right. We used Google Docs for draft review this year. That was good and bad. The benefit was that commenting was easier, and we did get quite a good volume of comments received, and possibly, I don't know this for sure, but it felt to me like more individuals were commenting. On the other side, in Google Docs, while the commenting is easy, suggesting changes isn't in any obvious way, and we got a lot more comments than we did suggestions on how to make things better. So I think that mechanism we should still be thinking about better ways to do that. That's the end of slide 5. Slide 6, follow-up and action plans. The version of the communique will be submitted for publication at Applied Ontology, and that is ongoing. Fabian has taken the first steps in that conversion. We're working on it. Second item, as of when I sent these slides to Peter this morning, this was the status. Lightning talk proposed for Semtech in San Francisco. Long shot, but possibly a possibility to get in there if there are cancellations. Breaking news! About a half an hour before this call, I had a call from Eric Franzen confirming that if the Lightning talk goes in, I'll really be there and can really present it, and that this is all feasible. Now it's a done deal. Lightning talk is in. So, update. There will be a lightning talk at Semtech Biz, and I am planning on having one slide that includes a URL to the actual communique. Now, that is related to the next point, because that lightning talk will happen on June 3rd. Currently, the communique is open for endorsements until June 3rd, so we might want to consider extending that. And my very last item, you will recall that we made many of the communique references, instead of listing every sort of individual item that was potentially relevant to a point being made, we made several of these, for examples or for more information on, analysis of ontology usage or, measurement of something or other, see this Zotero subcollection. Those collections would still benefit from the addition of more material to them, from both session materials that are already in the library but maybe not attached to that specific endnote, and if people have additional things that they would that came up during discussion as examples but hadn't been added to the library, I would like to encourage folks to, especially track champions, to have a look at that. And that's it.
Thank you, Amanda. Yeah, that's a great detailed feedback on the communique process. So I think that's one of the aspects of this summit that's had the most evolution over the years, I think, is the production of the communique. So it's good to learn the lessons of what was successful this year, because I think everyone agreed that this communique was excellent this year. So thank you again to Amanda and to Fabian for the all that work. Next up, we have Terry Longstreth. So Terry has a link to a consolidated summary for the of all the different session content.
I wanted to explain a little bit about why I did this. It was partly, I guess, in response to the same feeling that Peter expressed earlier, that the presenters took their work very seriously, and yet a lot of it just kind of disappeared. And wasn't easy to locate and put together. So it struck me that the homepage had all the material we needed. It was just a little hard to visualize. So I put together this table, which really represents the contributions from, in many cases, outsiders. Certainly. People that aren't nearly as active in Ontolog as those of us in the meeting today, for example. I wanted just to have a way for people to be able to look at all these presentations in a single lump and essentially cruise through them and across them. So that's what I did. I put it into HTML because that's the medium that I'm most comfortable with. And I leave it to you all to decide where it should go permanently. Peter suggested putting it into the Zotero link, which I think is a fine idea. But that isn't as easy to find as some other ways of getting to it, I think. But, you know, as long as people know that it's somewhere, they'll be able to look for it. Just looking through some of the presentations again, it struck me that we may not be in full agreement on the value of that dichotomy, which was reflected both in the session A and session B definitions, and in the inward facing versus outward facing conflict that has been talked about before. A lot of these people that presented, at least for session B, weren't even particularly up on ontology. Hans Pulzer and Keith Silliman were the two that I'm most, that we have the most knowledge of, or that we brought in. Now Hans has been very active recently, but he didn't start out that way. He got intrigued by what we were doing, and essentially has become a very active contributor to Ontolog itself. I think that by bringing these people, these outside speakers in, we are beginning to entrain some larger communities. That was my hope. Anyway, that's all for now. Thank you all, and I invite you to look through this and provide suggestions about how we might want to connect it to other parts of the summit. Bye.
Thanks, Terry. Yeah, it's a nice handy one-sheet summary of everything that we did. So next is Marcella Vergetti to discuss some of the follow-up and action plans related to the summit's website. Marcella?
Okay, fine.
Great. So go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank the opportunity to participate in the Ontology Summit activities. Here in Argentina, there are not many people working in the ontological engineering field. So the Ontology Summit series is a great opportunity to contact people who have expertise in this field. Be the champion of the website development team has been a challenging task. I hadn't known anything at all about wikis or semantic wikis, so I had to learn a lot of new things besides the language. It's been a hard work, and it's taken me more time than I expected. As a team, we've developed a public-facing website that is similar to the last year one. Additionally, we created a semantically driven website that is only a prototype to test how what we are able to do with semantic wiki. There are a lot of things that can be done to improve this wiki-based website. I'm going to introduce some of them in the following slide. Slide 2, please. And as I said before, there are many possible actions to take. You can see some of them in the slide. The first one is mandatory. It is necessary in a short term to migrate the website prototype from the test platform to the production one. The other activities are related to improve the prototype. The order in which they appear in the list doesn't imply a priority. There are also some other issues that Ken and Peter are working on. I invite them at the end of my presentation to talk about these issues. Slide 3, please. There are some of the planned activities that should be done in a short term in order to have a first version of the website ready. I had planned to have this first version in the production platform for the face-to-face portion. Unfortunately, my daily shop responsibilities didn't allow me to have it ready for that time. There are not many tasks required to finish it, but I won't be able to complete them until the middle of June. We also should complete the documentation of the work we've done. Moreover, it is necessary to do one more full migration that involves not only the last version of the pages from the Ontolog Wiki, but all their versions. This migration involves about 70,000 pages, not just the 3,000 pages which we just migrate up to now. Sorry. Next slide. Due to the fact that the migration of the current wiki to the Purple Semantic Media Wiki and the development of the website have been done in parallel, we couldn't work directly on the migrated wiki pages. So, to solve this problem, we created new pages that transclude content from the original ones. The semantics of ICOM ontology have been added to these new pages. Once the migration process will finish, we are able to apply semantics directly to the migrated pages. Moreover, we may even apply some semantics during the migration process. Slide 5, please. The ICOM ontology defines a vocabulary to represent ontology summit structure and organization. If we could be able to add semantics related to each summit topic, we would add important value to the ontology summit website. One of the hackathon projects of this year's summit, which has been led by Amanda, has worked in the development of an ontology of ontology evaluation that could be used to annotate the content of this year website. I think Amanda talk about this ontology later. Next slide, please. In MediaWiki, there is a characteristic that is called skins. Skins allow users to customize the look and feel of MediaWiki. The default skin used on the MediaWiki and the Wikimedia project is called Vector. There are also other skins that exist in the default version. Users are able to see which skins are available on their preferences page and can choose one of them. However, Once the user selects a skin, it is applied to all pages in the Wiki installation in the same way. We think it would be important to differentiate the look and feel of the pages of the listing ontolog activities. There is a Wikimedia extension called Skin per Page that allows each wiki page to have its own skin. I think the Purple Semantic Media Wiki development team have been working on the installation of this extension. So once it is installed, it is possible to have the pages of each ontolog activity with a particular skin and a particular look and feel. Next slide, please. Semantic Media Wiki includes an easy-to-use query language which enables users to access the wiki knowledge. This query language can be used on the special page called Ask, in concept and in inline queries. In the website, we only use some inline queries. For example, to find which virtual conference is organized by each track, which artifact is produced in the scope of each track, among others. The special page ask allows a user to define its own query. However, to work on this page, the user needs to know the syntax of the query language. It's also possible to store queries on dedicated pages called concepts. These pages can be viewed as dynamic categories, that is to say, collection of pages that are not created manually, but are computed by Semantic Media Wiki from the description given by a query. Some interesting queries are related to the activities an ontolog user does during ontology summit. For example, we can add query about all sessions and projects that a person participates, as well as the artifacts that he or she creates. These are some of the issues that we are planning to implement. Certainly, there are many other things we can add in order to improve the prototype. We are open to hear new ideas and suggestions from the Ontology Summit community. I don't know if Peter or Ken have something to add about these activities.
Ken?
Ken, do you have anything to add?
I don't have a lot to add. That was a very nice presentation. There is ongoing work on these on Personal Semantic Media Wiki and, of course, on the migration. I have some students who are actually doing a summer project to improve the mapping of the ICOM ontology to Purple Semantic Media Wiki, and in the process they're also going to be doing it more generally for ontology, so that we should be able to also map the ontology of ontology evaluations to the website. So that's an ongoing activity that hopefully I'll be able to report on in a couple of months.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. All right. Peter here.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
I have one thing to add, which is not ready yet, but when it is, I think it would be extremely exciting. We had, during the hackathon, one person who showed up very briefly. His name is Frode Hackland, who is one of the best UI persons I have ever met. And he has developed a user interface that interacts with any website called liquid, and they recently open sourced the code, and I'm planning to incorporate that so that it will become some sort of augmentation to navigate through pages and to call up related information. For example, one can look at, when this is implemented, one can go to our site, highlight the word ontology, and then bring up, for example, the definition of ontology, or bring up the axioms of ontology on certain repositories that we already have a link to, or of course not just ontology, but any term, process, or any term that one highlights. So this would be very exciting. I was hoping we could get that done during the hackathon. Obviously, we weren't able to because they were revamping their code around that time. I received their code, their updated code, like 2 days ago, but I was on other things. I was more concerned about getting more endorsements, and so I wasn't able to implement the code. But this is coming, and it will be very exciting. So just wanted to let people know. And again, Marcelo, this is a great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Marcelo. I think everyone agrees that I think it was the application of the Semantic Media Wiki ideas to the website was, again, a big success. Yeah. And as Marcelo mentioned in her slides, she made reference to the Ontology of Ontology Evaluation, which was another hackathon ontology clinic. And so Amanda has a few words to say about that.
Okay, this will be more brief. Slide 2. This is the status of the activities we came away with at the end of the hackathon. It is unchanged, essentially, since the symposium, as I have not had time to initiate and coordinate next activities yet. So that's the general status of the actual work. On slide 3, it's just a report. We had planned a little birds of a feather session after the symposium. Not too much got accomplished there due to general symposium fatigue. Items of were discussed or suggested. Michael, I think you're getting a surprise about one of them if you're looking at the slides right now. So these are mentioned follow-up resources or potential activities. Again, nothing's been moved forward on this, but these are just the few substantive things that came up. I asked folks who had stuck around for this to just, explicitly indicate their interest in being further involved and what kind of interest that was. And we have a handful of continuing contributors or people who couldn't contribute due to scheduling or other issues during the initial hackathon but would like to as we go forward. So that's I'm feeling very good about that. Perhaps more interestingly, though nothing is more valuable than people being willing to work on it, more interestingly, several people also expressed to me their interest in being kept aware of specifically the availability of the outputs. So they want to know when each, deliverable, the informal and formalized ontologies, are available for use. And this is, we have, as was just mentioned, our first targeted consumer is ourselves in the form of the website team. that we're, so we're hoping to be able to support that that markup very soon. But we also have a number of people who would like, who are saying, we'd like to know as soon as things are available so we could potentially use that in some project of our own. And those requests came in the form of both, you know, requests to make sure that the Ontology Summit list in general is apprised of those developments, and a few others who say, you know, well, I follow you on, you know, Google Plus or Twitter, and so please make a post there when there's new stuff to look at. And then there was sort of general, like, general unspecified interest to be kept apprised. But I thought that that was, that second kind of interest was particularly interesting, and the first particularly cheering, and in terms of our ability to actually go forward with it. Slide four, a few observations. Even though I hoped this hackathon back as, you know, to just informal for one day, that was really too much for one day, and it was partly because it probably took a half day for us to all on the same mental page and get a flow going. For that reason, and I mentioned this at the symposium when we were talking about the hackathons, I think that multiple one-day sessions a few weeks apart with time between for asynchronous work or just to people to sort of line themselves up in relation to the work might be very good. We had the holiday collision, so even though we had the second day option, the second day was Easter, and there was very limited availability for that. I just want to note that we had a number more participants showed up to partake of the, you know, do work in the hackathon. That more of them were surprises than were expressed interest in advance. Certainly I didn't plan for that. I don't know if other hackathon people did, but that's something to note, I think, for the future, depending on how things are set up, that may be something to expect. It was definitely a learning experience with hindsight. I can definitely see where expecting, you know, two to four people, I didn't pay a lot of attention to certain kinds of tool and collaboration logistics or explicitness of certain parameters beforehand. With the number we actually had, it turned out they would have been benefited a lot from a little more work that way. And also just a side note that, you know, with a little more work done beforehand on of that nature, the kind of activity we're doing probably could be supported entirely asynchronously. That would have the advantage of allowing people to work around their own holidays, time zones, etc., and potentially support more contributors. It would be require, again, a little more planning and logistical prep, but it also one of the great, as with remote collaboration in general, if it's done properly, it's more self-documenting than live simultaneous action that tends to be. So since we spent a lot of time, everything we've done from the hackathon to now, and we're still not done, is really sort of documenting in informal but clear English and graphical means what we discussed and came to during that time. So there would be gains for doing more, sort of forcing more self-documentation by design. And that's all. I plan to get back on that after I get back from Semtech.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. Okay, so next up then, we'll be spending the next the remaining half hour, 34 minutes of today's session, having a kind of a broad ranging discussion over all the ideas we've heard so far. If you click on that link there, we have questions about this year's summit, and it essentially a little bit of a matrix here. I guess what went well, what could be improved, and then kind of doing a product of that with all the different aspects of the summit. So by these different aspects, we mean the tracks, the hackathons and clinics, the symposium, the communique, the email discussion, contributions on the wiki, the website, survey, community library, and also the publicity. So if you look at slides 2 and 3, you know, these are the 10 different ways of looking at the summit, the 10 different aspects of the summit, with these two basic questions: what could be, what went well, and what could be improved. And if we maybe just focus first on slides 2 and 3, and then we'll get to slide 4, which is more focusing on more what should we do next year. So let's just open it up for discussion. People, please type in, and we'll also do the management on the queue here. So Fabian, you're up first.
I know that the rule is start with the positive and then break this, then go to the criticism, but I will just ignore that and go directly to the criticism. I think one thing that we need to reevaluate is that we have the tendency to, for our live events, to pack them with presentations. And I think today is a good example. I mean, it's an event which has the discussion in the title, and we are basically 1.5 hours into the event before there were short discussions in between, but, you know, mostly it was presentation. And now that is also linked to the question, you know, so there's some, I agree with Amanda who said the synthesis sessions were a good thing, but in a way I think that we need to have a synthesis session, and that was the place where we discovered that or discussed some of the issues that seemed to fall through the tracks was a symptom of a weakness of the previous session, namely that we didn't have enough discussions during the regular sessions. So I would have thought that at least part of the synthesis, namely the question, you know, how do these presentations we just had relate to each other and to the overall line of, or the overall question of the ontology summit, that these discussions should happen during the regular panel sessions. We shouldn't wait until there's an extra synthesis session for that. What I want to say is I think we need to balance more our regular panel discussions between having presentations and having interaction.
I'd like to maybe address that point too. You see this sometimes at a lot of conferences when they have a panel, which maybe isn't like a keynote panel, but just a kind of a panel that's been assembled ad hoc, that people look at sometimes as an opportunity to give a 15-minute talk in their 5 to 10 minute allotted space, and it ends up being rather disjointed rather than being a kind of a panel discussion on a common topic. And, you know, maybe that's what we want to have a little more of, in the sense of, I mean, it still is very beneficial to have content presentations. We shouldn't call them a panel. This should be like, you know, a presentation session. But then we should have more focused discussion sessions where there is a key set of questions, and that helps to frame the discussion. I think maybe sometimes the discussions we had weren't as productive as they could have been because they perhaps didn't have enough focus. But I think if we have maybe a different kind of session, where it's not a collection of presentations, but it is people addressing specific sets of questions. And you could even have more people. I mean, you don't have to have just 5 panelists. You could have many more, but the point being that they would each have to kind of address a particular set of questions. That's another possibility. Would that maybe go to some degree to address your comment, Fabian?
Well, in theory, yes. In practice, I think it's very hard to keep people and to make people be focused on points. So I think if you invite more than five people, then there's just the danger that this will be only presentations even bigger.
Mm.
So and the other question would be maybe all of these online presentations discussions are a little bit awkward there to start with. So email conversation is obviously a better form, in particular since this can happen asynchronously. So maybe we can find better ways of integrating the email conversations with the live events. But I'm just and that again links to my observation my doubt whether we lose participation, active participation, that I would like to encourage it. So I'm not sure how to achieve it, but I'm just worried that we are often very one directional. We have we have five speakers and they say what they have to say and they don't really talk to each other during the panel, so-called panel discussion, and then nothing happens, for a large degree. So I would rather have that the participants in the Ontology Summit do something, discuss with us.
Okay. Matthew?
I agree with what Fabian was saying about the presentations. I'd sort of liken it to a sort of scattergun approach. Some bits of some presentations are likely to hit the target, but you're likely to have quite a lot that doesn't hit anything at all. But I think that it's a necessary phase to go through as well. And I don't think it's a matter of not having the presentation-style track session, but as having that as a precursor to something more focused, because I think you need to have the presentations or some presentations, just to get a sense of where things are, and then some discussion, a separate panel session, which is only literally a discussion and panel session, to actually aim deliberately to try to move things forward. That's how I would want to approach it anyway. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. I like that. Fabian and then Peter.
Matthew, I wasn't worried so much about the fact that some presentations weren't on target. We probably can't avoid that. And I also agree that some presentation sessions are useful. I mean, all of that I agree. But I think we then should be honest in labeling and say we have a presentation session. And not call a panel discussion, and also we should then, if we decide that we will only have these presentations, and no discussion during the live event, we should then explicitly, as an organizing committee, think about how can we engage people so that it's not just a one-way presentation that we achieve.
Yeah, I agree.
Peter.
If we are still on what went well, then I wanted to mention that a few days ago, the OOR team had a team meeting, and there was a resounding agreement that the hackathon was great this year, and the hackathon probably was the most productive piece that came out of the collaborative exercise from the OOR perspective, at least. A lot of things got done, a lot of things that OOR team would have wanted done may get done over a weekend or at least plus the planning of that. To the extent that the OOR team even agreed that they would continue to do this regularly and had appointed champions to make to steward that activity. So I think that's a good thing to say about the innovation that started from this summit. My other point is I tend to slightly disagree with Fabian. Maybe you hear the presentations and you say, oh, I've heard them 10 times before. But there's probably, because, I mean, there are just so many people in ontology evaluation, so many papers that have been published, and if you have published all those papers and if you have been to all those conferences and heard all those talks before, it's a repetition. But for me, I think it's very educational from a knowledge repository perspective. I think it is great. I mean, we have, through very short time, managed to capture a body of knowledge, survey the entire landscape of ontology evaluation, which I don't think would be possible or would not be as good if we just left out all the presentations and let the people come and just be panelists and start by discussing. So I wouldn't totally discount the presentations quite yet. I'm not saying you're wrong, though, but I value the presentations just as much. I think, I mean, sometimes we might want slightly longer discussions, but I think the mix now isn't really that bad. I mean, when we come to what could be improved, I have some comments on discussions too, but that will be later.
Howdy. A couple of points, and I may be repeating things. I've had to jump in between this call and another call. One of the issues, as was pointed out for this year's summit specifically, was that the original organization of the summit wasn't optimal. I'll put it that way. We all recognize that. So that would suggest that, I think as Matthew pointed out and wanted, so was suggesting that we start earlier so that we could do a little more analysis and, understand better what we are trying to accomplish. And then in terms of the discussion, I do agree that we need more discussion, and that is among all of the participants to the extent possible and not a select subset. And as was pointed out many times, when you have these panel sessions, you just hear people give their spiel or their whatever, and then there's no interaction. And from the community perspective, it's that interaction that will be more beneficial and perhaps be able to bring more people in, to pique their interest or at least give them some direction if they're not already aware of what's going on. And when do we get to next year's subject?
In a few minutes, as soon as we kind of wrap up some things that could be improved. I just want to kind of get a few more comments on this. I think in terms of what went well, I think everyone agreed the communique went excellently, very well. The hackathons were a great success, and we should incorporate that. And I think the website and the survey as well, I think those were really nice innovation. Well, the survey, I think, was not innovation, but I think it was something else that went very well this year. Fabian?
I wanted to respond to the end of basically having the ontology summit longer. And even this year we had it a little bit longer. And I'm not sure whether this comes with a cost. Namely, I mean, I got the some feedback, which was admittedly only from one person, which was it's all too long and I just don't have, I can't keep up with it. And because, it's dragging out for 4 months or even five, and, so it's hard to find the time to be engaged. And that might lead also to the fact that a smaller group of people participate because, the many other people who, would be interested just feel that there's too much of an investment and that they don't have the time to really participate. I understand that Matthew's proposal was to basically address that issue by stretching it out but then have individual bursts. But maybe it's just me, but it would be very hard for me to do something like that. I'm at least for me, it's I work on something or I'm engaged on something for a time, and then I want to. Then it's very hard to just put it aside and go back to it 2 months later. It's just hard to organize your schedule around these kinds of things. So I'm not sure whether that idea of making it, stretching it out and then having breaks is going to be helpful to address the issue.
Peter.
No, I was just agreeing to I was just agreeing to Fabian's point about stretching, but when we we'll talk about this when we talk about next year.
Right. Are there any other comments then, just about in terms of things that could be improved? Again, for me, this is a general comment. I think one of the things that can be improved is a little more coordination. I think we kind of noticed that a little bit, the coordination between a track topic and a set of presentations, or coordination between the integration between the topic, the track topics and the communique. I thought something with the symposium, I personally didn't think the panels were very well integrated with the topic this year. I mean, they may have been beneficial, but I didn't really find them. I mean, they may have been interesting, I should say, but I didn't really find them very beneficial. The keynotes, I guess. Not the panel. I think the panel was interesting, but the keynotes were not very relevant. So that's something that we can improve next year by having maybe a little more focus. Any last-minute comment about what went well?
Did I hear that you say the keynotes
were not
good?
Yeah. Well, they were good.
I thought the keynotes were the best part of the symposium. I thought the keynotes were the best part of the symposium.
Okay, I don't know. So I guess that's just personal opinion, but I didn't feel that they were relevant to the topic. But I don't know.
There is an issue here, which is a systematic issue. So we spend 3 months, all of us, thinking about ontology evaluation. Now, who are you going to invite to give a keynote on an event which is on ontology evaluation? Who wasn't already in the room? So because if the person is a expert on the subject, we better have him during the ontology summit, so that we got the input early on and not, after the communique is written and everything has, been finished up. So if you invite somebody who is not an expert, and then speaks on ontology evaluation, this is going to be ridiculous because we are all going to be knowing more than the person. And if the person speaks not about ontology evaluation, then it's irrelevant. So we had I also had my doubts about the usefulness of the keynotes, but I think there's a structural issue here, and that will reoccur next year, regardless of what the new subject is, because the result we have this problem because we changed the way the symposium is organized. We have more free time, so we have more keynotes, and the question is, what do we do with them?
Yeah,
I think we will have a problem to find relevant speakers to the keynote, to the subject that we are addressing.
Well, but I think there the thing that perhaps the thing what's different is that we shouldn't think of a keynote in the sense of a keynote for a conference, since the symposium is not a conference. So the role of having a special talk is not necessarily play the role that a keynote plays at a conference. It's not something to inspire people necessarily. It's not something to enlighten people. It has a different role, perhaps. I don't know.
Okay, what's the role then?
Well, it's something we have to work on for next year. We have a whole year. But since we only have about 15 minutes left, I want to get to the last slide here. So what should we do next year? There's two aspects here. One is the schedule, and the other is the topic. Maybe I want to start with the topic first. I think that there was a little more interest in that. But we would definitely want to leave some time for talking about the schedule. So, Todd, I think you had some comments you wanted to make. Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
Yes, thank you, Matthew. Yeah, I sent an email out shortly after this year's summit, and I just typed one of the suggestions into the chat box. One area that you know, I went back and looked at the subjects of the previous summits, and one area we haven't gotten anywhere near is reasoning and or specifically aspects of ontologies that you intend to use in reasoning situations. Now, I know, Matthew, I talked to you about reasoning, and you just said you didn't want to get near it. Now, I don't know how other people feel about that. I realize it's perhaps not immediately relevant to development of ontologies or ontologies per se, but as far as I'm concerned, that's one of the primary reasons for developing an ontology. So thoughts on that? Comments?
I think one thing, too, is Peter's observation in his earlier slides, whether this is a kind of an outreach sort of topic that engages other communities more actively than something, so on this slide, something fashionable like big data, or whether it's something that is the field itself grappling with issues. So that would be something like what Todd just suggested, like the idea of reasoning or other topics like, you know, reuse,
Matthew?
Things like that.
Matthew?
No, I
yes.
Michael's talking.
And then, no, Matthew.
Okay.
Am I still on?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You just brought up another something to trigger the thought, and I think I mentioned this with Peter. Is there something we could craft that would seduce the Semantic Web Gang to participate?
I don't think I'm the right person to ask that question.
Well, this is a general question for everyone on the call
yeah.
right now. Personally, I cannot think of something that would do that, but you know, it would be very beneficial for all involved, especially the Semantic Web community, if they would participate more actively or vocally in what we do.
Absolutely. This is part of the age divide thing that I was mentioning.
But they also have a lot more money.
I think it's the age divide thing. I think it's a religious thing. But Mike Dean is on the call, the person who comes closest to straddling both communities is Mike. Maybe he can make a comment.
It may be a Star 7 thing.
Or he may be on another call also.
Maybe we'll just kind of go in line here. Amanda, you're up, and then Peter. And then hopefully Mike Dean can unmute by then. Amanda, go ahead.
Well, now I'm having the problem that I raised my hand for one reason, and now I have three things to say. But I wanted originally to say something about the internal facing, external facing thing. What I want to say, I think, is that they're not so disjoint. Whatever we may like to think as a, you know, as our, the ontology community, our dirty laundry is out there, right? If we are having a, and this is, I think, one of the, this was a strength of this year's topic in a way, where there are particular places where the field is kind of stuck or has an internal conflict that needs some push forward, needs, you know, people to come together and figure out a way forward on. That's often a place where people are having not very good interactions with ontology or something that's causing them to balk at adopting semantic technology. So I think looking for those kinds of spaces is one way to both try and bridge that not instead rather than having to completely choose and focusing the topic more narrowly than we sometimes do. I mean, we sometimes, you know, I look at these two topics, you know, big data is just too big and ambiguous to be a summit, a feasible, reasonable, focused summit topic. It would have to be something much more narrow. And one of the ways that we can, I think, maybe narrow down to good topics is to look for places where it's of both internal and external interest. Now I also want to say in relation to Todd's question about what would bring semantic web people in, and I put this in the chat, but I think, you know, one area is what Corey Casanova was pushing for last year, which is looking at ontology-based data federation. A sexier way to say that and get both Todd's part of the reasoning topic in and hit the semantic web people and the linked data, DataGov, big variety of other communities connected to that would be to look at the idea of reasoning over linked data. That is, I think, a huge topic that's an elephant in the room because lots of people are throwing up marginally marked up data, but it's not clear what happens when you combine it if it goes beyond a very thin application, a very tailored application. So this is a way of looking at, you know, you bring in questions like having the right ontology to mark your linked data up in and figuring out what the right practices are by looking at why you might want to do reasoning over linked data or how people consume linked data in a reasoning context. And while I have the floor, I'm going to throw one more thing in as well that's only partly related, but I think it needs to be said about next year. Another elephant in the room when we look at questions of who is participating and who isn't, you know, some people are saying they see an age thing. You know, Todd was mentioning thinking of this year's topic as not really that relevant to a lot of ontologists, whereas my experience is quite the opposite. The obvious question to me then, right, would be, well, why aren't all these ontologists that you know that care about this, why weren't they at the symposium? And I can actually answer that question, and it's not an answer that anybody really wants to hear, right, which is that the Ontology Summit has a legacy PR problem that dates to years when it was more academic and unfairly, I think, ties it very closely with sort of repeated cycles of certain kinds of activity on Ontolog Forum. There are a lot of people who say, I'm too busy for this, because what they think is going to happen is a lot of not very pragmatically tied down conversation. And I think that the summit has really evolved in that regard and was much better than the forum in general, even to start with. But people don't know that. So getting that word out, I think, in a way that people believe is how to attract a lot of people who are missing now from the conversation. Okay, end of rant.
Okay, Peter.
I really like the last part. I mean, Amanda and I is that, and I totally agree. I mean, the summit is what the forum aspires to be and got realized, whereas the forum is sort of still a mess of people discussing how many angels can be dancing to the pin or whatever. But I want to get back to the two things that I was saying. And I think if we don't address those two points, we are not going to get any better. That is, we have to resolve whether we want the summit to be internal facing or external facing. I disagree with Amanda that they could be, it could be both. I don't think it could be, because these are very different objectives. I mean, whether we want to advance the state of the art of the discipline or whether we want to move the discipline out so that the world can accept us. I mean, these are two very different things. I think the answer is at not in this group, but rather at IAOA. I mean, I have always looked at Ontolog Forum being an open community and IAOA being a sort of a formal version of a research community. So if voice is a form of what we look at as the summit, but addresses those topics, or the Summit Institute of the IAOA addresses that, then we could actually turn the Ontology Summit to totally externally facing, leaving IAOA to take sort of the inward-facing, discipline, advancing research exercises, which I think is badly needed. And I think IAOA would do a much better job in, and that's definitely within their charter. So I'm leaning towards either doing alternate years or doing it or making the summit totally external. That's number one. The second thing I wanted to say is, I don't know others. I know several people in the organizing committee work as hard, if not harder, than I do. But I work very hard, and I could only do it in a burst. And the burst, 3 months is a good burst. 4 months is already getting very tiring. And if this stretches throughout the year, I doubt if I could even do it. Of course, that's making it dramatic. The reason why I think hackathons are effective for open source projects is that a lot of open source projects are supported by people who have a day job. And if people have day jobs and the day job don't sort of coincide with these things, then you have to leave it to the weekends and leave it to very intense spurts of intense activities. And I think the summit is one of those, although that peak stretches quite long. So I would still suggest we keep it within 3 months or at the most, maybe 4 months. 4 months is already stretching it too long. And, of course, back to my slides again, if we don't resolve the marketing, meaning like positioning issue and the public relations issue, I think we are stagnant. That's all the rant.
Okay, Fabian, you have the last word, because then I want to briefly touch on the schedule issues. So last word on topic.
I completely agree with Peter. These are two things. I don't see IOA having something currently which will take on the summit, because FOIS is a regular conference. That means that, you know, everybody is presenting their thing and then everybody's happy. But it's no goal-oriented like the summit, where there's no going to be consensus. I agree that it would fall under their mission, but it's not. There's nothing there, and it's very hard to get these things off the ground. So I don't think that we could just easily dump it on and say from now on, Ontology Summit is going to do external stuff, and internal stuff is going to be handled by somebody else. I don't think that will be successful. So I would be happy to be with alternating. The only problem with alternating that I see is the marketing issue, because in a way, what the decision is then is that we have different audiences every other year, and it's confusing for an audience to have the same event, but only be at least some people, the same event that would be only interesting every other year when it happens. So maybe the trick would just be to have two different names. So it could be alternating, just so that everybody knows if it's called Ontology Summit, it's maybe external, and if it's called something else, then it has an internal focus. I'm not saying that it will be de facto two events in the sense that organizationally it will be all the same. I'm just saying that otherwise, it's very hard to market to people if you have so different type of events under the same label.
Okay, great. I just want to allocate we're now over time, but still, to at least raise the issue of the schedule. My opinion is that one of the things we can do, even if we don't change the actual schedule of the summit, I think we can change the schedule of planning the summit, because it seems like every year there's this big rush in December as we try to brainstorm on a topic and then pick a topic and then structure everything and get things going. And I think this year maybe the lack of integration among some of the tracks might have been reflected in that. I think one possibility would be to have a topic brainstorming session earlier, so perhaps in September. where we have, like as Fabian was saying, you know, we only had half hour discussion today, but to have a discussion session in September where people brainstorm on possible topics and a list of possible topics arises out of that. A follow-up session, you know, months later where there's, you know, kind of a run, we evaluate those and come up with maybe a top three, and then, you know, after that, coming up with the topic, and then having a little more planning in terms of what the tracks are. So the actual summit would still get going at the same time, but there'd be a little more planning involved. And, you know, so that would be something that maybe could help, say, the quality and the focus of the actual summit. Todd?
Matthew, one item
no, it's
about...
It's Michael who's talking. So if you're addressing Matthew, you want to address Matthew or me?
Well, I want to address everybody, but you, Dr. Gruninger. In terms of selecting a subject or even thinking of brainstorming them, one of the related activities we should all engage in is identifying, if we're going to run along with the usual presentation format to some extent, who could we invite that has relevant material for the subject matter that's being proposed? So, you know, if we want to throw out ideas, and I've just been randomly stringing words together on the chat, as you've seen, if we're going to have a serious proposal, we should ask that there be some forethought as to possible presenters. One of the challenges I know Track B had this year was finding enough presenters that had relevant material. That's all.
So maybe catching up on that, so instead of having just a pure brainstorming session, you would actually have a call for proposals. So that instead of just tossing out a topic, you would actually also have to say, yeah, here's a topic, and here's what I'm thinking it would be organized as.
Having a brainstorming session would be useful to narrow down the list of ideas, but then we have to go out and do some homework before we do a final vetting of them.
Okay, no, that's good. Yeah. So after the brainstorming session, then, yeah, you're right, then people, if there's one that they would like to kind of push, then they would, like you say, come up with a little more of a fleshed out proposal for what would be kind of in the umbrella of that topic and what would be some potential track topics and how would all be organized.
And mostly, who would we get to talk? That's all.
Right.
Or present. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So what do people think about that? Like, you know, the summit, it's the content part of the summit doesn't have to stretch over the 6 months or whatever. But if we start planning it earlier, would that be something that would be beneficial?
Yes.
Yeah.
We saw what happened this year without that compressed time frame, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other thoughts on this? Fabian, your hand up, or Todd, you still have your hand up?
I mean, the planning this year started in October, right? So it's not that different.
Did it start in October?
Was it beginning?
Well, roughly about November.
More like November, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have a hard subject until the beginning of January, the end of December, as I recall.
Yeah, and then I thought it was kind of odd. We had a session, an open session, where we were kind of getting ideas for tracks. And then the next day, the organizing committee decided to restructure everything that had happened the day before. And so I felt that was really much too rushed, those 2 days in December.
But that was after we decided on the subject. The subject
yeah.
was discussed, I think, in November.
Okay. Any other comments? So how do we want to proceed then? I mean, what's, you know, summer's starting now, so I mean, nothing is really going to happen until the fall. But do we want to have a brainstorming session in September? That something, you know, again, so this kind of something that people can look forward to and, you know, prepare for in some sense.
So is September, would September be the earliest time?
Realistically, I would think so, yeah, because summer, you know, it's hard to get people together.
Well, at this point, then, I think we should just sort of choose a date and use that as a planning metric and then have a nice summer, I guess.
Yeah, because, you know, the issues that we're talking about here, you know, the inward focus, the outward focus, I mean, that kind of, you know, constrains the topics, but that in itself is a discussion I think that we have to have a little
Indeed. I'm not sure whether that's the discussion the organizing committee has or whether it's some discussion the organizing institutions are going to have. Because, I mean, the organizing committee is something which is established each year, right? It's not...
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's the same people, or there's an overlap between the people, but it's basically our job now is done. This is our last session. The next year is going to be new organizing committee, which might have very different people on it. So I'm not, and the organizers are, the organizing institutions have been choosing the subject, if I think, or at least narrowing it down in the last year.
But that's why I want to make this more of an open session of anyone who's interested in the summit. Not just an organizing. Matthew, you had a point?
Well, I think the main thing is that actually what we're doing now is seeding people so that they will be thinking over the summer.
Right.
I mean, that just getting the issues out on the table will be helpful rather than, you know, you come to September and then you start thinking about what the issues might be. And that's the whole thing behind my idea of spreading things out a bit. It's not that you're doing it all of that time. It's that you give yourself time to let things filter in so that you're not just making a rush. Oh, and I remember what the other point was. One of the problems that we have as a community is that we tend to talk rather than, and we'll keep talking until we have to make a decision rather than make decisions early and timely. Now, that's partly how it is in a voluntary organization, because it's really hard to make discipline happen. If, you know, if you've got a boss, it's relatively easy to do. If you're a boss, it's relatively easy to impose that kind of discipline. But without a boss, you can't. And so we need to be more self-disciplined. So thinking about what it would mean to be more self-disciplined about reaching decisions in a timely way would be also be a good thing to do. It's difficult, but anything that we can do in that area will give us big benefits.
Okay. So any last minute thoughts? All right. Mac and I would just like to thank everyone who contributed to this year's summit and symposium. Oh, there's a
Matthew?
Go ahead.
What's the date for September?
Well, I was sensing that people didn't want to set a date right now.
Yeah, but consider what Matthew just told us.
Yes, it would be good to set it. That would be one of the things it would be good to do is actually to set a date. So that
okay, September 19th.
Okay, fine. What day is that?
Thursday.
Well done. Okay. Someone put that on the chat or something. I'll put it on the chat.
September 19 is a Thursday. Very good, Matthew.
That's Michael. I'm Matthew.
I'm sorry, Matthew. I'm tired.
It's all right. Yes.
But, yeah, so just, like I said, thank everyone for all the contributions and all the hard work. It really was quite a successful summit this year. And as Matthew just typed in, so September 19th will be the kind of initial brainstorming session, and it will only be a discussion and brainstorming. So it'll be completely dedicated to that. And the idea of that session would be to come up with a list of potential topics, which would be winnowed down over the following months.
And this is open to the entire Ontolog Forum community, correct?
Exactly.
And can we post to the W3C Semantic Web Gang also?
Of course.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone
well, thanks.
Else who has money?
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks everyone, and have a great summer.
Yeah.
Great session. Thank you,
Michael.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Ciao.